pleased to have with us right now the godfather of the National Football League. You can hear him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. You can read him on NFL.com. And, oh, by the way, this thing that we know at the Combine started with this man, Mr. Gilbrand.
You know, Tech Schramm is really the guy that I think did it.
Okay.
And it was his idea. You know, it was done because we were trying to keep kids to not miss school.
Okay.
Because all we were really doing is giving physicals.
Right.
And a guy by the name of Nolan Cromwell stepped off the elevator one day at our building in Dallas, and he had, I don't know, 12, 15 x-rays, and he had just flown overnight from Seattle. You know, it was stupid because the guy was flying all over to see the same thing, you know. But what happened, it was in 1977, I think it was.
Okay.
And you know, people started to look at success. You know, they looked at the Dallas Cowboys, and they said, this is a drafted team. We had every player on our team was either drafted or was a undrafted college free agent.
Right.
And so they said, hey, you know, it's like anything. We're copycats. You know, if Liberty Ford can give us a better deal, we're going to Liberty Ford, you know. And
I like how
happened.
You worked that reference. And explain, of course, Tech Schramm was the general manager of the Cowboys back in the day. You were head of their personnel, your director of personnel. So it was Texas. But you, and again, I know credit is, and you're a humble guy. I know that too, Gil. But you guys must have at some point had a discussion to figure out there is a better way to do this.
Oh, yeah. You know, see, one thing that there was a better way to do it is get more bang for your buck. And you know, people don't realize in the old days, you know, we had guys playing for $14,000 a year, $15,000 a year. You know, teams didn't make a lot of money.
Right.
I know our first year in existence, I think we lost $1 million. And, you know, by today's, that's nothing.
Yeah.
But by $1 million back there in 1960 was probably $20 million now is
sure.
What it was. And so,
wow.
You know, you tried to do everything possible. You know, you played a preseason game. You know, they played doubleheaders in Cleveland. I don't know if you
right.
know that or not.
I do remember reading about
played doubleheaders. And you know, we get walked away with $25,000, and we thought that was really good.
Sure.
Is what
because
it
you
is.
Had to promote at those days, the NFL had
right.
to promote itself,
and we had six games, you know,
yeah.
and is what it was. So, you know, everything was done with the player thought of, because rather than run the guy all over the world and keep him from graduating or missing classes or whatever it was, you narrowed it down and you got a more comprehensive report than if you would have. Just called the team doctor and said, you know, this is Dr. Knight calling from the Cowboys.
Sure.
Tell me about Nolan Cromwell.
So it was about pooling assets
right.
collaborating
right.
as teams, as partners in a league. So, Gil, fast forwarding to 2013, when you see what this combine is now, what it's grown to, what are your thoughts when you compare it to what it was in the 70s?
Vic, it's for the layman, it's like some guy driving out in Montana and going through these small towns where they have these one-story motels to the Sears Tower and still growing. I mean, you know, we're going to have over 800 media people here. Over 800.
That's a record.
Well, we break a record every
year.
We had
yeah.
750 last year. And, you know, as you know, the 750 is, these are frugal times for a lot of papers.
Sure, sure.
So when you get increases rather than decreases, I think you see what it means.
No doubt. It's become a much bigger media spectacle. This radio row that we're
yeah.
on has grown, I think, doubled since last year.
Yeah, well, you know, 2 years ago, I think there were two.
Yeah.
Minnesota
yeah.
And Sirius.
And Sirius. And now
yeah.
a whole bunch of us
yeah.
are here. So the media interest in it is understandable. How about its value, though, to the teams? And how has it, what sort of changes have you seen in the football end of it, Gil, that make it more valuable? Or is it about the same? What would you judge in
well,
that regard?
I think it's, you know, I think it's who has the best eye? You know, and who gets the most out of the individual interviews?
Mm.
You know, some people can interview and extract a lot of things. Other people, you know, say, where did you grow up? Have you got any brothers or sisters? You want to play for the Cleveland Browns?
That doesn't you get
know,
you much.
It doesn't really, you know. So it's, you know, it's like in everything. That the people that do things well somehow find a way to get ahead. The people that don't do things well somehow find a way to fall behind.
There's always interesting storylines here. The one that's going to be very intriguing this year, we know, is, of course, Manti Te'o. And you talk about interviews. How do you envision that going for teams that need to, you know, want to know more about that whole story with the fake girlfriend and such?
You know, I think it's over our head. I think you have to have psychological people there to do the interview and you know, extract what you have to. You know, it's hard for me not to believe the kid, and it's hard for me to believe him. I mean, you know, in today's society, we're a heck of a lot smarter and sharper than we were 30 years ago.
Right.
And it's hard to believe that somebody could have a fake girlfriend and spend all this time for all that amount of time. It's hard.
Gil Brandt is visiting with us from NFL.com, SiriusXM NFL Radio, and really all things NFL regarding this combine, working with the league. Your latest mock draft, which is posted on NFL.com, as I zip down to the number 6 spot where the Browns are picking, right now you have Demontre Moore from Texas A&M, the defensive end, going to the Browns. If you could tell me what your thinking is there and how you see him fitting into Ray Horton's defense.
Well, he's a defensive end that can rush the passer, and I think we put a priority on that. And I think that when you look at the Browns, I think the Browns have drafted pretty well the last couple of years. And I think that, you know, you have pretty good offensive linemen. Schwartz is a pretty good right tackle. Mm-hmm. The center is a pretty good football player. I think the Browns have a lot of good young players. You don't have a second this year. You have to take that into consideration.
Right.
But you gave up a second for a wide receiver that's pretty good.
Yeah, could be the number one
yeah,
receiver.
Yeah, you'd be happy to have him. But, I think that between Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi, they're both pretty good at what they do. And I think that they'll come up with players that'll help them. They might drop down. They might go ahead in the draft, you know. It's going to be every year is a different draft. You want to go up in the draft, it's pretty easy. You want to go down in the draft, it's harder because everybody looks at it and says, you know, why should I give up two choices to move up, and who am I moving up for?
Right.
Conversely, when you ask somebody to move down, they got to have a player in mind.
What strikes me, and again, sitting here at the Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium, which is hosting the 2013 NFL Scouting Combine, what strikes me about your mock draft as well is I look at your top, within your top 8-9 players, two of them, besides who you have, Demontre Moore going to the Browns, you have Alec Ogletree to Buffalo, and inside linebacker Jarvis Jones.
You know, that was before the problem.
Yeah.
But understand one thing, Vic, that when I do a mock draft,
yeah,
I don't pay any attention to medical or problems.
Right.
I just want to put the players in order that sure. I think they are.
No, I get it, I know this changes, too.
And Ogletree is a pretty good football player.
And Jarvis Jones, the outside linebacker at Georgia. What I wanted to drive at is, by seeing this, Browns fans, obviously their biggest focus, all of our focus in Cleveland is primarily on how is this defense going to find the right pieces to work, this 3-4 scheme. And it looks to me like this draft has an abundance of those players.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you a little scoop, and I don't know if it's correct or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jarvis Jones doesn't run here and waits until his pro day at Georgia. Why, I don't know,
Because, right? Because yeah. Guys do that here.
Yeah, but
you don't like – what do you feel about that, though? You want these guys to do everything.
Rick, let me ask you this. If you play the lottery, would you rather have two chances to win or one?
Right. Always want two, multiple.
Yeah, and, you know, when you work out here, A, if you work out good, you don't have to work out again at pro day.
Right.
And if you work out poor, you got pro day to fall back on. If you don't work out here, now you got pro day to fall back on. And maybe it's inclement weather, maybe you're sick, you don't know what.
Right.
So
right.
I would rather, get it out of the way and spend the time preparing to do the individual drills that the coaches will ask them to do at pro day.
Interestingly, you have Luke Jekyll, the offensive tackle from Texas A&M at the top of this draft going to Kansas City. And then Geno Smith, I find it interesting, too, that Geno Smith and Matt Barkley also make your top seven. Smith in that third spot to the Raiders, Barkley at the seventh spot to Arizona. Others have argued that there isn't a first-round quarterback. You have a different view.
I don't think you have my latest one.
Okay, maybe I'm working on it.
Well, you know what you have.
I know it changes by the...
No. You have that draft is a mock draft. Pertaining to teams.
To teams, okay.
You do a ranking.
I do a ranking
that's right. Up there that I put up Monday, I think it was.
You know what? I think I have that in front of me, too.
But I don't have Barkley up there, and I do have Smith.
Geno at four in this one overall. And you don't have him to a specific team, just in terms of ranking.
Right.
So what I'm driving at, though, is how do you see the quarterbacks in this draft, even if you only have maybe one with a first-round grade at this point?
Vic, they've gotten beat down as far as they can get beat down. I mean, nobody said anything good about any of them.
No.
You know, it's amazing that they can win any games and be as bad as they were.
Right.
So I think you're going to see in the next couple of weeks, and especially the guys that work out, they'll work out good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll start to see the quarterbacks making a comeback. I really think you're going to see two or three quarterbacks picked in the first round. I don't know who they're going to be. But it wouldn't surprise me.
And looking at Barkley, the whole issue of him not throwing and this whole shoulder thing could obviously be a problem for him. But at some point, he's going to throw, and he'll give his best that day.
I think the 26th of the month or 27th of the month of March.
Okay. And lastly, overall talent in this draft. How do you view it? I mean, just in comparison, maybe to other years,
well,
there was a lot of excitement over quarterbacks.
Two years ago, the first 30 picks in the draft are starters. Last year, we had more starting games than ever before by rookies.
A lot of them on the Browns.
Yeah, that's right. And I think they led the league.
Yes, 100-plus. Yep.
And this year, I don't think the top 10 players is as good as it was last year.
Okay.
But I think from maybe 11 to or 15, somewhere in that, to 45, I think they're probably better than they were last year.
Gil, thank you so much
for
your time. We appreciate it. He is Gil Brandt, the one and only from SiriusXM NFL Radio, NFL.com, the godfather of the NFL, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from the 2013 NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. More coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.